key indicator that, somebody is considering assaulting you. It yes. could be a key indicator that
True.
That somebody just needs someone to listen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And if you don't slow down, if you don't stay calm, then you're going to miss those opportunities to effectively help the people out.
Exactly. Or assess. It's like absolutely. You're assessing while you're listening.
Absolutely. And I've been accused of being a fast talker.
Really?
Yes. I can talk fairly fast. Mm-hmm. I'll give an example.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm testifying in court,
mm-hmm. ah.
I talk fast.
Gotcha. Right?
Because I'm recalling the situation. And I'm, yes. I'm providing
details.
The picture. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm painting the picture for people. And I will often have the judge mm-hmm. or the court clerk ask me to slow down.
Really?
Because I'm talking at a pace where they can't keep up with the documentation.
Oh, my goodness.
Be typed. So that has something that is something that I've had to continually work on.
Yes,
is slowing down.
Yeah,
and I find when I have situations where someone is in some sort of crisis,
mm-hmm.
if I slow down,
mm-hmm.
Not only the speed, but my responses,
mm-hmm.
and I lower the tone of my voice.
Yes,
it will bring people down. It will. Any level of excitement that they have,
right.
it will bring them down. It
yeah.
will give them pause, and they will become more comfortable.
Yes, that's all so true. You should teach a class on listening and talking.
There are people out there that are much better at it, much more professional at it than I am.
Well, I think you'd be good.
I appreciate it.
All right, I think we're going to move on to number six. Who has been your biggest influence? What lessons did that person or people teach you?
You know, it's hard to pick just one person.
Yeah.
I have so many people that I can point towards. I have people from the Marine Corps that mm-hmm. were heavy influences on the things that I did. I have my dad.
Yeah.
My dad was a heavy influence on me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know. My dad was an alcoholic.
Oh, gotcha.
And the one thing... that he did right, despite mm-hmm. Oftentimes being drunk,
mm-hmm.
was he was always there for us kids.
Aww.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If we wanted to play catch, he'd go out in the yard and play catch.
Yeah.
And he instilled in me work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
The man always had a job. He was always working.
Yes.
And it wasn't the most glamorous jobs. It was yeah. always like... getting your hands dirty,
right?
Coming home with cuts on your hands and your wow. arms. When I was 12 or 13 years old, he fell 25 feet out of a tree and broke his back.
Oh my
word. He was
word.
Working for a company that would limb trees on the way up
oh.
and then would top them all the way down.
Oh.
And when he was pulling up the saw, it hit the half hitch knot on his belt,
oh.
which caused him to fall oh. back from the tree. Long story short of that is... he didn't just give up.
Yeah.
Right? He had to have a cage put in his back and
oh my word.
Several vertebrae fused together.
Yes.
He kept trying, and the
oh.
state was doing different things to rehabilitate him.
Yeah.
To include, before he passed away,
mm-hmm.
he was working for the Department of Fish and Wildlife as
mm-hmm.
a clerk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the biggest thing that I took away is... family is important, and you work hard to take care of your family.
Yes.
So my dad was a fabulous influence in that aspect of life.
Exactly, and those are so important too.
So as far as the Marine Corps,
mm-hmm.
I had at the time he was gunnery sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he got out as a master sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot remember his last name.
Mm-hmm.
I know his first name's Abram.
Mm-hmm.
He now lives on the East Coast. He's got his doctorate. But
wow.
he is one of those guys that was constantly seeking furthering his education. And he
oh.
was always calm.
Yeah.
Right? No matter the situation,
wow.
he maintained this level of calm that you just looked at and admired.
Yes.
And it... had an influence on me because it didn't matter if he had somebody in his office that
mm-hmm.
they truly messed up, right?
Yeah.
Or if it was a simple conversation that he was having to have for an entire group.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation was always calm. It was never abrasive. It was never in your face.
Yeah.
He never yelled.
Wow.
And that had more of an impact on the people he was talking to by, instead of yelling at them,
mm-hmm.
just sitting down and explaining, one, this is disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the reasons why it's disappointing.
Yeah.
And then he would give a path to success.
Oh.
This is our plan, right?
Yeah.
We didn't succeed in this area, and this is why we didn't succeed.
Yeah.
Let's come together and figure out a plan.
Yeah.
To be able to come back and make it better.
I love it. What a good leader. And, you know, I noticed you said we, and that, you know, it wasn't mm-hmm. you. It was we. Let's figure right. out a plan.
So
let's, yeah, move forward.
I'm going to kind of pair off of that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about we, right? Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things in my opinion for leadership mm-hmm. Is ownership,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give credit to a book, Extreme mm-hmm. Ownership.
Oh.
I love books. I love reading. It's by, I'm probably going to butcher their names, Jocko Willink and Leif Babin.
Okay.
Both Navy SEALs, very highly intelligent men. But they teach the idea of extreme ownership, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did I not do?
Mm-hmm.
Or what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
Or what did I not give
mm-hmm.
that caused this to be a failure,
mm-hmm.
right? What caused this to be a failure, right? So we take ownership for the things that are not a success.
Mm-hmm.
We find the issue. So if you have a personnel issue,
yeah,
what am I doing wrong that is not getting the message across to this person? How mm-hmm. can I help guide them in the direction that needs to be done?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I do that through partnership with them?
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side of that is when there is success, that's their success. That's not
yes.
your success.
Right.
It succeeded because of your team.
Yes.
Not because of you.
Mm-hmm.
So ownership is huge.
Yes.
Right. Providing that sense of ownership to someone who you're trying to work through a problem with,
mm-hmm.
that will give them some sort of ownership
yeah.
of the overall thing. And it will cause them to be invested in the solution.
Exactly. And then being invested and having motivation, all those things mm-hmm. together.
Right. Because who wants to solve a problem when the answer is given to you
yeah.
versus being part of the solution yourself?
Exactly. Awesome. This is just great. Let's see. Did you feel like you got a good chance to finish that? Yeah, I think so.
I absolutely
okay.
did.
Okay. Number 7, what is your earliest memory?
Oh, that's a good one. So
okay.
Like I said, we didn't grow up with much money, but
mm-hmm.
my dad and my uncle were mm-hmm. always working on vehicles, and my dad had I want to say it was a 1968 Toyota Land Cruiser.
Oh, it
was
my gosh.
The Canadian pickup edition.
Oh, that's cool.
My dad had it lifted, and
oh,
there were big tires on
yes.
it. There was a Chevy 350 engine in it.
Okay.
It had a Muncie 3-speed in it.
Sweet.
Like, I can go through. And I was probably 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
And we were always working on it. But I remember very distinctly going down into this mud hole with my dad and my uncle, and they turned the engine off.
Okay.
And we're in the middle of this. I mean, it's up to mid, maybe 3/4 of the way up
okay,
the rim.
Okay, so
the truck is down in
the mud.
Giant mud hole.
Okay,
yep.
And you're inside the truck.
And my dad shuts the engine off, and they're sitting there talking back and forth.
Oh, my word.
And they decide it's time to leave. So my uncle
what?
Climbs out one side, locks the hubs in. My dad climbs out the other, locks the hubs in. And I remember my dad sidestepping the clutch on that and just watching this rooster tail of mud fly up into
my
the air
gosh.
Behind the truck. And it probably had to have been 30 or 40 feet. But it's the memory of time with family.
oh, it's so perfect. It's your earliest memory, but yet it's so, it's just so cinematic the way you're describing it.
Right. And that's the way I see a lot of memories in my head.
Yeah.
I grew up hunting. I
yeah.
grew up fishing.
Yeah.
And doing all these things.
Yeah.
And my children will often ask for things, as
yeah.
kids do.
Yeah.
Right? They ask for things.
Yeah.
But Sari and I were big proponents of experiences.
Oh, I love it.
Because you're not going to remember
mm-hmm.
the
yeah. This or that.
The toy
mm-hmm.
that your parents bought you when
yeah.
you were 7 or 8 years
but
old.
But you're going to remember that mud.
But you know what you're going to remember?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're going to remember the trip.
Yep.
You're going to remember the
trip.
Experience.
Yep.
And how
mm-hmm.
that made you feel.
Exactly.
I remember being giddy and
yeah.
giggling
I
as
bet.
I'm watching the mud fly into the air.
It's amazing. That's a great story. I love it. Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up here with a couple questions that all the guests share. And this one is, what book or film would you like to recommend and why?
So books. I would say, again, I'm a huge proponent on the leadership books. If you have not read Extreme Ownership,
okay,
go get a copy.
We need
go
to get one
it.
For the library for sure.
It's phenomenal.
Okay.
The other,
if we don't have it,
right, right,
we might
it
have.
May be here.
I know.
People just have never seen it. People don't
right.
get naturally pulled that direction. Sometimes,
right.
I mean, myself, I wasn't big on those style books.
Yeah.
Probably until after I got in the Marine Corps. And
there you go.
Then they started pulling me that direction.
Yeah.
Like, what can I do to better myself?
Wow.
And then Start With Why by Simon Sinek.
Okay. Start With Why by Simon Sinek. Okay. Another one.
If people don't know who he is,
mm-hmm.
He is a motivational speaker. He
okay.
kind of teaches people not only on the leadership side of the house but the
mm-hmm.
corporate leadership side of the house.
Gotcha.
Like, this is what people want.
Yes.
Right. And if you haven't, you can go online. He has short TED Talks.
Oh, good.
That,
okay,
that
people could
cover
get an idea,
a small portion of
yeah.
his Start With Why.
Okay.
And it goes over the idea and the concept of, if you start with why,
mm-hmm.
people will become invested.
Mm-hmm.
Because think of anything that is done in life. What do people want to know?
Why are we doing it?
Right. If I tell you
mm-hmm.
the library is going to be closed on Thursday,
yeah.
what
why?
Are you going to ask?
Yeah, why?
Everybody wants to know the
right.
why. So when you are doing things as a leader,
yeah.
when you are making changes, when you are introducing new concepts,
mm-hmm.
you start with the why. You say, this is why we're doing this.
I love it.
And he kind of goes over how some companies succeeded
mm-hmm.
in that exact model. They started with the why, and how some companies really struggled and weren't able to be successful because they said, look at this fantastic product we have.
Yeah.
And that's all they said.
Yeah. Instead of
right?
telling you why you could
I
use it or need it.
I want to be able to provide this to you because it does all of these
this.
Fabulous things.
Yeah. It totally makes sense.
So, movies, man. I am a nerd when it comes to movies. And honestly, if we go back to books,
mm-hmm.
Lord of the Rings. And
our whole family.
And the original Hobbit.
Oh, yes.
I have.
Read them in high school.
I have some of the third edition prints.
Love it.
And a little bit older.
Very
in
cool.
Horrific condition.
That's okay.
But I would say Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
I would say the
Love
Harry
it.
Potters. It's just so entertaining.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of movies recently.
That's if okay.
People are into things that have happened,
mm-hmm.
right? Based on true story.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch American Sniper.
Mm.
It is going to break your heart.
Oh, those.
It is
yeah.
going to absolutely break your
gotcha.
Heart.
Gotcha.
Watch Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Right? You want to go back further? Watch Schindler's List.
Oh, I can't.
I watched that as a kid.
I can't do it.
And it absolutely
yeah.
breaks my heart. But
I've read books.
Opens your eyes to
right,
some things.
And I can do that, but I can't watch Schindler's List. So
which is understandable. It's okay. Because it's so heart-wrenching.
It's just too...
Yeah. It really is. There's there's so much emotion that's in that.
Yeah.
And I think if people pause and take the time to understand that, that that's what the world was like.
Right.
And not necessarily the whole world.
Right.
But that's what part of the world was like.
Yes.
It will help us from repeating history.
Exactly. It's so important. Oh, my goodness. All right. For your last question, David, here it is. Are there any questions that you wish I'd asked and anything else you would like us to know?
You know, I don't think there are necessarily any questions that I wish you had asked. I think it's important for people to understand, and I know that the whole idea behind these conversations is so that people get to know who's behind the scenes in
exactly
the community, who's putting in the work to ensure that we have beautiful parks,
yes,
to ensure that we have a safe community,
mm-hmm,
to ensure that the city runs effectively and efficiently. And I think that's huge.
I do too.
Because people don't often have the time or take the time to be able to have those conversations one-on-one with us. So to be able to put on a podcast, for example, and listen to it while you're on your way to work or while you're doing chores around the house or something like that is huge. It allows the community to connect in a way that is often not immediately available. And it also allows them to understand that they can approach us all the same. I want children, for example, to know that the safe place to run is police officers.
Yes.
The safe place to run is firefighters.
And the library.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. It's
talk to
safe.
Us.
It's a safe
we're here
zone,
for you.
Right?
Exactly.
And oftentimes we will have, and it's unfortunate, we'll have people who will say, oh, you better do this, otherwise I'm going to have that police officer arrest you.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart because they're being children.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find another way to connect because otherwise you're going to cause them to be afraid of the police.
Exactly.
And, I mean, I grew up in a time, you grew up in a time to where we loved the police.
Mm-hmm.
We showed them respect.
Exactly.
We
respect
would run
is
to
a
them
word I'd
be like, can I have a sticker? I've always wanted to be a police officer. Those were our reactions to police officers instead of the questioning and the fear that comes into place by people placing fear in their children's hearts.
Right. We don't want that. I just want them to hear who you are and what you do and what you stand for. And, well, I guess that would just lead me to say thank you for all that you do. And thank you for helping take care of the library, too, because we appreciate so much how you guys walk through and check on us and check on things. And you just stop and chat. And I think that's where I really learned that it is okay to really just say, how are you doing? And, have you seen this happening or, you know, anything like that? But it's all about communicating to each other, you know, one-on-one and in bigger groups, too. But anyway, it's so important, everything that you're doing. And, gosh, I just thank you so much for being here and sharing your story. And what a great story it is.
I appreciate it, Debbie. It's a pleasure to be on and to talk to you about this. And I think you hit the nail on the head, right? Communication.
Yep.
You say thank you, I say I appreciate that, but I just talk to people.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
And you're a good listener.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Have a great afternoon, and thank you again. We'll see you out there in the community.
Absolutely.
See okay. You. Thank you. At the part of the podcast where I'm going to read a quote from a patron. I've provided a little card, and at the top it says, my favorite thing about Puyallup Public Library is, and this was signed by someone named Kathy, and Kathy wrote, I love all the new books. the collections, which include nonfiction and fiction. Of course, my favorite is cookbooks. Yay! Thank you, Kathy. We have an amazing collection of cookbooks. There's about two aisles worth there upstairs in the nonfiction and the 640s. And come on down and look at our cookbook collection because we have a great one. And we're always getting new ones. In fact, I even put in a purchase request recently for a wonderful, I believe it's called Asada cookbook from some woman in California where she talks about friends and family getting together and having a great cookout. And the recipes that come from her family and everyone shares and it's a wonderful cookbook. Anyway, so thank you, Kathy. We love hearing from you. And thank you for being a library patron and taking the time to write a little comment card. So thank you for joining Shush with Debbie. And please tune in for our next episode. Thank you.